You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Tuesday, January 8th, 2019, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. You know, playing this podcast is very easy. You can actually ask Siri, Alexa, or Google to play Locked On Jets, and you'll be able to listen to the show. The Jets seem to be winding down their coaching search. Seem to be, you know, maybe there will be a new mystery candidate to emerge, but it seems like the Jets are at least wrapping up their first round of interviews with their primary candidates. Cliff Kingsbury actually got into the mix. He seemed like he was out of it when we heard the reports over the weekend that USC had denied permission and the NFL, for some reason, was forcing NFL teams to get permission from college teams to interview candidates. But, you know, it's not clear at the time where we are recording this podcast whether Kingsbury resigned or whether he got USC to relent. But either way, so Cliff Kingsbury has interviewed with the Jets. There was a report that the Jets also spoke with Baylor coach Matt Rhule about the job. Rhule has been starting to gain some buzz. We'll see whether he's interested. The way it was phrased by Jason Locke and Ford was that they spoke about the job, so it's not clear like whether he actually interviewed or whether they were just speaking with him to gauge his interest or what the real situation was. We'll probably get some more light on that over the next few days. But on today's show, I wanted to talk about the coaching candidates. And the reason I want to talk about them is I don't think there's any guy who's really a slam dunk. I see a bunch of candidates who have some pluses and some minuses, or some pluses and some questions. So on today's show, I'm going to talk about the eight people who have emerged as candidates at this point. And again, maybe we'll have another late candidate enter the fray. You know, maybe we will see some second round interviews. I'm not sure. But I'm going to give you one thing I like about each candidate and one question I have for each candidate. So we'll start with Mike McCarthy. And he's the former Packers coach, obviously. The thing I like about him is just, he knows how to be a head coach. I think out of all the candidates there, he's the one guy I don't have any question is a credible head coach in this league. There are other guys who may have higher ceilings. I think McCarthy has the highest floor, though. You know you're not going to get something embarrassing with him. I think the year, 4-12 type seasons, you're not going to see those under him. He knows how to run a team. He knows how to run a coaching staff. He knows how to supervise coaches. These are just things that, you know, a lot of guys struggle with. We know he can do them. And I know that there are some McCarthy critics out there, but I don't think you can be really, really angry with the Jets if they make this hire from the standpoint that he's a credible coach. I don't think you can doubt he'll bring some discipline with him. There's just a lot of things he knows how to do. And the first-time head coach may not understand how to do that. McCarthy's been a head coach for a long time in this league. So that's what I like about him. I think that's his big plus as far as I'm concerned. Now, the question I have for him is what kind of hires are you going to make on your coaching staff? And I think whenever you're in a position as a supervisor, there's always a balance you want to strike. You want people you trust, but you don't want to become too insular. You want people you know, people you're comfortable with, working under you. But you get to a point where maybe you get a little things get a little stagnant. There are no new ideas coming in, and that's my concern with McCarthy. And I've spoken about this extensively. And it's just the criticism you always hear about him. And, you know, there's going to be some blame thrown back and forth. You know, was it McCarthy's fault? Was it Aaron Rodgers' fault that that era ended? What were the factors in the locker room that were behind McCarthy's firing? In my opinion, it was just a case where they had been together for a really long time. And sometimes, you know, just a relationship needs to end professionally. And I think that's what happened. I don't think it was really anybody's fault that they had a falling out. I think, you know, it's for a quarterback and a head coach, they had a long relationship. And sometimes, you know, it's just time to try something new. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I think, you know, even the great Bill Walsh once said, the legendary former 49ers coach, that a coach only has a shelf life for so long. And at some point, the team tunes him out. And, you know, that may be the case with McCarthy and Rodgers. But one thing that's been a criticism of McCarthy for years is just that his offenses are just not that creative. You know, you don't see a lot of the best practices that have come into the league from colleges, whether it's stacking receivers to get them free releases, whether it's, you know, incorporating enough creative personnel groupings, whether it's any number of things, using motions to scheme guys open. They just don't see them. So what I want to see from McCarthy, don't bring in the same guys. Are you willing to expand? We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Are you willing to go out of your comfort zone and bring somebody in and bring some fresh ideas in? So that's my question for McCarthy. Next guy I'm going to talk about is the newest candidate on the scene, and that's Matt Rhule, who is the coach of the Baylor Bears. And I'll tell you what I like about him. And I go back to something Matt Rhule made me think of something my dad was talking about over Christmas in a different context. You look at Matt Rhule's resume, and he's had a lot of different jobs in football. And by a lot of different jobs, I don't just mean lots of different places he's coached at. He's kind of been all over the place in terms of what his responsibilities were. He's been a linebackers coach. He's been a defensive line coach. He's been a special teams coach. And then he worked on the offensive side of the ball. He's been a quarterbacks coach. He's been an offensive coordinator. He's been a tight ends coach. He's worked on the offensive line. He's done pretty much everything. I mean, not everything. He hasn't been a defensive coordinator, but he's coached a lot of positions on the defensive side of the ball, a lot of positions on the offensive side of the ball, been an offensive coordinator, been a special teams coach. Usually don't see a guy with experience in all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. And I think back to something my dad was talking about over Christmas. We were discussing something. He talked about somebody he knew who owned a restaurant, and the restaurant's successful. And my dad told me about this guy. And the restaurant business is tough. I know some of you listeners are in the restaurant business, so hopefully what I'm saying makes sense. I'm sure I'm going to get an email from somebody in the restaurant business, because I know we have a number of listeners who are in the restaurant business from my description, from my interactions with you. But my dad talked about this guy, and he said, like, his first job out of college, he got a job bussing tables at the restaurant. And then, you know, a greeter position opened up, so he took that. And then they needed somebody to cook, you know, in the kitchen to help cook a day or two a week. So he did that. And then he became a waiter. And essentially, he learned every aspect of the business. And that helped him understand, when you run the company, it gives you a background. You know where everybody, you know, everybody's perspective. You know exactly what everybody needs. And when you have to make a decision, you know, sometimes you have to decide, sometimes different departments in any organization have conflicting needs. You know, once one party, it's good for them, it's bad for another party. You have to decide which is the greater good. I mean, you think about any place you work at, really. I mean, I know this in my place, wherever I've worked. Sometimes people just have tunnel vision. They don't see the big picture. You know, they see something that's good for their department, but overall in the big picture, it doesn't make sense for the company. So, you know, I think in any line of work, my dad used the restaurant business as an example. It's good to understand every different area of your business, so you understand where to dedicate resources, because resources are always finite wherever you are, and it's good to just understand every aspect. So I like that about Rhule. Now my question for him is, how are you going to relate to NFL players? And that's not like a accusatory question. I'm not asking how are you. I'm not saying he can't do it, but you know, you hear about Rhule, people say Rhule has NFL experience. Well, his NFL experience is one season as an assistant offensive line coach. So, you know, he doesn't really have a huge NFL background. So I think that's going to be the question when we talk about how's he going to run his locker room. And listen, he's certainly capable of doing it. I think he could be. I would be intrigued by this hire. I'll be honest with you. Of the candidates, he'd be one of my top guys who intrigues me. I really do think he's a good coach. I think he have potential to do very well in the NFL. But I think there is a question there. Is, you know, it's very different being in college and being in the pros. In college, when you're in charge of a college program as the head coach, your word goes. Whatever you say goes, because you're more important. The player, even the best player, is only going to be there 4 years. You're going to be there. If you're successful, you could be there over a decade. So whenever there's a battle between you and a player, you always win. The NFL, your best players make more than you as a head coach. So it's a different dynamic. So I think there are some questions there. I think that's something he'd have to answer. The NFL playoffs are here, and a lot of people think it's the most wonderful time of the year. You can make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service as well, and they offer some crazy props. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. Join now, and MyBookie will offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you have a nice bankroll for bowl season. Use promo code LOCKEDON25, that's LOCKEDON number 2, number 5, to activate the offer when you deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON25. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. We're here today talking about some of the Jets coaching candidates on the Locked On Jets podcast. I'm giving you one thing I like about each candidate and one question I have about each candidate. And we're going to move on to Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. And he has one of the great Chris Berman nicknames, if you remember NFL Primetime, which is actually really upsetting to me that like there are kids who have grown up today who don't know what NFL Primetime was. It was like the greatest show ever, but it was on ESPN. It used to be the weekly highlight show you'd watch at the end of the late afternoon games on Sundays. It was so Chris Berman and Tom Jackson. It was always Eric sleeping with Bieniemy, which is based on the old movie Sleeping with the Enemy. That's one thing I like about him. But in terms of coaching, what I like about him is that you know he's going to bring the Kansas City playbook with him, which is the best playbook in the league. You know, we talked about Mike McCarthy, how some of his plays are not that well designed. He's not adapting best practices. The Kansas City offense is the best practices. I mean, you see creative plays that are easy to execute, just plays that any competent NFL player could execute to gain yardage. Bieniemy is bringing that with him. Now, my question with him, a lot of people, their question is going to be about the play calling, and I'm actually not sure I agree with that. And the reason I don't agree with that is lack of play calling experience does not concern me from the standpoint that there are not a whole lot of head coaches in this league who call plays. And there are lots of successful head coaches in the NFL who don't call their own plays. So I don't really have a big issue with that. But my question comes down to, does he have the requisite skills to be a head coach? Does he have the leadership skills? Does he have the organizational skills? Is he going to bring in a good staff? He's kind of a blank slate because he's so inexperienced. Does he have the relationships to lure a quality staff with him? Can he run a game? And on some level, these questions exist with any potential first-time head coach. But my questions with Bieniemy are more pronounced just because I'm not sure. He's more of a blank slate because he only has the 1 year of experience with the Chiefs offense. He's not that experienced. That's not necessarily a deal breaker. I mean, remember when Doug Peterson was called the least qualified coach almost in history by Mike Lombardi? So, it's not always about qualifications. And I always use the example Romeo Crennel, who is the most qualified. You could never come up with a more qualified head coach on paper than Romeo Crennel, and he stunk as a head coach. So it's not always about traditional resume, but I think with Bieniemy, you do have some questions about that. Next up, Chris Richard, who, of course, is an assistant coach with the Cowboys. You know what I like about him is, obviously, I think he's an excellent coach, which you could say a lot of these guys, or they would not be considered. But what I like about Richard is I almost feel like maybe this is an undervalued candidate because the rest of the league seems to be looking for the offensive-minded head coach, the head coach from the offensive backgrounds. So maybe defensive guys who are with defensive backgrounds are being a little overlooked. That's where the market inefficiency is, where you can get a really great coach who's just only being overlooked from the side of the ball he's on. And Richard is an excellent coach. You look at what he's done his career. I mean, he's had a lot of success, and there's not a lot of things that would give me pause about him. Now, my question about him, however, is on the offensive side of the ball because he doesn't have a background, because he's really the one coach who's not from the offensive side of the ball, and because of the Jets have Sam Darnold, I do believe that I do have some questions about what kind of offense do you want to run? Are you going to bring in a guy who's going to run an offense with modern best practices? What type of offense do you want to run? What's your system going to be? Who are you going to target as your offensive coordinator? I think those questions, this is not a deal breaker, but I think those questions are more meaningful for Richard because the answers are less obvious. The other guys all have a body of work. They can show you the system they've run. With Richard, you have to figure out what he's going to do. So that's the question he has to answer, I think. All right, next up we'll talk Jim Caldwell, who was the former head coach of the Rams and the – I'm sorry, not the Rams, the Colts and the Lions. And for good – actually, this was tough to figure out because there's not a lot I like about Jim Caldwell. I mean, I guess he's a calm guy. I got to be honest. This is not one that I love. And my question for him is, what do you do to make a difference? Because to me, Caldwell is just the embodiment of an average coach. I look at what he's done in his career, and he had Peyton Manning. He had success in Indianapolis. Peyton Manning gets hurt in a bad roster. He stinks. Goes to a good but not great roster in Detroit. 9-7. This guy, I don't think he makes it. He's an average coach because I don't think he'll destroy a good team, but I just never really know. I don't really see what he's ever done to make a team better. And I think his most notable impact was the most tangible impact I could ever see was that ridiculous timeout he called when he was coaching the Colts against the Jets in the wild card round in 2010 that helped the Jets win the game. It was just a nonsensical move, and it kind of allowed the Jets coaching staff to regroup and assess what they wanted to do. And on the next play, you know, the Jets looked like they were playing for like a 50-yard field goal, and then Caldwell calls that timeout, and they regroup. And Braylon Edwards goes into the huddle, says, "Throw me the ball," and Mark Sanchez throws a good pass. Edwards makes a big catch and turns it into a chip shot kick. So, I mean, Jim Caldwell, what are you going to do to improve this team? Because I don't think Caldwell's a terrible coach. I just don't think he's a guy who really moves the needle either way. Next up, we're going to talk Todd Monken, who was the Tampa Bay offensive coordinator. And I like a lot about him. And I'll be honest with you, of the candidates I've seen, and the Jets have gone in a couple different... I don't love all the candidates the Jets have chosen. If I was running this search, I would have gone in a different direction in a few places. But of the candidates we have, I think Monken's the guy I would hire. And the thing I really like about him is just like all the experience he's got in so many different areas. He's been a head coach. He's worked in college, so he's been exposed to modern offenses. But he's also worked in the NFL, so he can see what works and what doesn't work in the NFL. So I just love the experience. Seems like a real football lifer. He's been around all kinds of different places, exposed to so many different coaching staffs. He has so many ideas. And he's had success. He's done a good job at a lot of the stops he's been at. So I like him a lot. I guess if I had one question for him, and again, this is probably my favorite of all the candidates. I think, you know, he's not as proven as Mike McCarthy, but I think the ceiling's really high. I guess my question for him would be, having spent most of his career in college, except for, you know, a four-year stint with the Jaguars back around a decade ago, and then the last years with the Buccaneers, is what kind of a coaching staff are you going to bring in? Because I think for a guy like him, he brings a lot of creativity. He brings a lot of college ideas. But I guess my question is, you know, are you going to bring in more seasoned NFL hands who have experience working in the pro level? Because I think there are a lot of good ideas that come from college, but I think pro experience is invaluable. And I want to see a coaching staff that's diverse. And what I mean by that is diverse. I want a coaching staff where you have a mix of guys with new ideas and old seasoned NFL hands, you know, old guys who have experience in the league. Because I think you want a good mix of new ideas and time-tested ideas. So with Monken is, you know, what kind of network are you going to tap into? You've got some experience working in Tampa Bay, but who are you going to bring in? Do you know the types of coaches that will help you succeed in the NFL? I think that's my question with him, although, I like him. I think he's probably my favorite of the candidates. Next up, we'll talk Cliff Kingsbury. One thing I like about him is great offensive mind. I don't think there's any question about it. My questions with him are kind of like Bieniemy, everything else. And unlike Bieniemy, you've got a record that's not too great at Texas Tech. I mean, it's funny because when I brought this guy up, my concerns about him, one of the things that said is, you know, you it's tough to recruit to Texas Tech, which is true, but at the same time, he had Pat Mahomes, you know, NFL MVP, and they were a mediocre team you're a mediocre team in the Big 12 with Pat Mahomes. And there are just other things. If you've examined his record at Texas Tech, I mean, there are lots of issues there. And I go back to this. I just don't think he was ready to be a head coach. And is he ready now, just being fired a few weeks, you know, not that long ago? He was coaching Texas Tech in 2018, so it's not like he's had a lot of time to sit back and kind of evaluate what went wrong and try and figure out how he could succeed at a higher level. So, you know, pretty much everything else, you know, outside of the offense, you know, are you just an offensive coordinator? Are you a guy who has the necessary skills, leadership, able to run a locker room, able to deal with pro personalities, able to make effective hires? Because that was an issue with even at Texas Tech where, you know, lots of his hires were kind of shaky for assistant coaches. So I think there are questions there. I have a lot of questions for Kingsbury. And finally, Adam Gase. And what I like about Gase is, look, I'm not a big Adam Gase fan, but one thing I will say about him, he's a good offensive mind. He designs an offense well, and I think he was kind of hamstrung with Tannehill in Miami and some of the other, and they did not have a ton of talent. But my question for him is, can you get along with people? Because part of the reason they did not have talent is he drove a few talented players out of Miami, And he was just a guy who was, everybody says he was difficult to get along with. And that's a, that's an issue because, you have to be able to connect with people as the head coach. As the offensive coordinator, your job is to build the offense. As your head coach, your job is to run the team. You need to get people to buy in. You need to get people to respect you. You know, I think back, it's about 10 years ago, the Jets fired Eric Mangini. And I feel like there's this story that's been, as time, as we get away from that moment, all anybody remembers about that season is Brett Favre. So there's this perception Mangini was fired because of Favre. And I'm not sure that, I don't think that was the case. I did not think that was the case back then, because first of all, there were issues with a lot of the things Mangini did, defensive scheme, assistant coaching hires. But I think one of the biggest factors was, you just listen to what people say, and you kind of get the impression he just was difficult to deal with. He was a guy who did not get along with people. He got the job too young. He came from New England where, Belichick is not the most personable guy, but he can get away with it because he's won multiple championships. He's just you get the feeling he's a tough guy to deal with. You think about Mangini's former colleague in New England, Josh McDaniels, who failed in Denver because he couldn't get along with people. Todd Haley, a guy who's a pretty good coach, but keeps losing his job. He lost his head coaching job in Kansas City, Pittsburgh, offensive coordinator, Cleveland, offensive coordinator, just because he can't get along with people. If you're going to be a jerk, you better win. Jim Harbaugh is everybody says, talks about how people can't stand Jim Harbaugh, but Harbaugh wins. It's one thing if you win. And I know Michigan, he's had trouble in big games, but Harbaugh's been very successful in his career. He was a couple yards from winning a Super Bowl in San Francisco, rebuilt Stanford from pretty much the ground up, did a great job at the University of San Diego. Bill Parcells was a guy who was very difficult to work with. He was not an easy guy to coach with as an assistant. He was not an easy guy to play for, but he earned respect from people, and that's the reason he was successful. Even if they didn't like him, they learned to love him because they respected him and they bought in. He got the buy-in. So how are you going to get people to buy in a way, Adam Gase? That's my question. How is Adam Gase going to get people to buy in? What's going to change from what happened in Miami? Because he's a great, very good offensive mind. I think he'd be a strong candidate for offensive coordinator. But, again, head coach is, as much as anything, about leadership skills, getting people to believe in you. So that's my question for Adam Gase. So that's where I'm at right now. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As I said earlier in the show, if you didn't realize this, you can ask Google, Alexa, or Siri to play Locked On Jets, and you can listen to the show. It's that simple. So give that a try. Hope you have a great Tuesday. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll talk some more Jets.